You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, but baby,
Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann first met in the 1960s when they were teenage songwriters working the Brill Building, and the hits that they wrote together include this song, You've Lost That Love and Feeling, On Broadway, Somewhere Out There, Don't Know Much, but they've continued to remain current. Some of their music is being featured in the hit Broadway musical Beautiful, and now Cynthia has published a novel. On top of that, this weekend, the couple will receive a Grammy Trustees Award. Cynthia's new book, I'm Glad I Did, is a mystery set in the place where they got their start, the Brill Building. It's published by Soho Teen, and I'm very pleased to welcome Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann to our show today. Hello. Oh,
hello.
Hello.
You've won Grammys. You're in the Rock and Roll and Songwriters Hall of Fame. So was it logical, Cynthia, that you write a novel?
You know, it wasn't logical, I guess, but I had always loved the idea of writing something that didn't rhyme. And books and songs are not that different. The books are just longer, but they have a first act, a second act, and a third act. So I knew so little about publishing that I sent a book I'd written to Soho Teen, not realizing that they were a mystery imprint.
And a young adult imprint.
And I knew they were young adult, but I didn't know they were mystery. And the editor there, Dan Ehrenhaft, got back to me and said, you know, I can't publish your book because it's not a mystery, but I would love you to write something for us. And so we talked about what, and actually, this was Dan's idea. I just brought it to life.
Well, this is aimed at the same audience that many of your songs were aimed at, isn't it?
Yes.
Young adults.
Young adults.
Now, did you write the music? Did Cynthia write the lyrics, Barry?
Of the book?
No. She said she wanted to write something that didn't rhyme. How did you divvy up your responsibilities?
You mean when it came to just songwriting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people always want to know, did somebody sit down at the piano and say, hey, I got an interesting melody, or did somebody write a lyric and then
all different ways. Basically, Cynthia really liked to hear a melody first.
Sometimes we'd come up with an idea, and that would inspire a melody, and then...
Right.
Yeah.
Or it might inspire a riff of some sort, which would then inspire a melody, and then Cynthia would inspire her to write a lyric to it.
Well, let's talk a bit about the song that we opened with, You've Lost That Love and Feeling. Is it true that it was the most played song in the 20th century?
Yes.
Wow. Why do you think it had so much appeal?
I don't know. I just know back then, to me, it was like a very fresh record. It was a great combination of a great production.
Phil Spector.
By Phil Spector. I thought it was a terrific song, to be honest. And also... great artists. They were terrific. And I think that combined really helped it sell.
Was Phil Spector as weird then as he has turned out to be?
Wow, what a loaded question.
Yeah.
Phil was always eccentric and troubled. But I have to tell you that we really did love him. Right. And working with him wasn't always easy, but it always led to – we always knew when we wrote with him – that it would be a great record, and that's inspiring in itself.
How did you wind up writing this song? This is kind of like an updated version of The Thrill Is Gone, isn't it?
We're talking about lyrically at this point.
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't autobiographical, because you're still together.
For now. After 53 years.
That will give me confidence.
Right. We really flew out. We were living in New York at the time, and we flew out to California to write with Phil Spector for this new group he had called the Righteous Brothers. And he played us two records from a label they were on. It was a local label, and they were very R&B, up-tempo R&B.
What they called White Soul. Yes. Blue-Eyed Soul.
Yes, but, you know, they really sounded very, very black, you know. Anyway, at the time, Baby, I Need Your Loving had come out. And we loved, Cynthia and I both loved Baby, I Need Your Loving. So I thought that, you know, they would sound really great on a ballad.
You know, now that I think of it, I have no idea how we thought that two men singing a love song made sense.
Yeah.
But we didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. And we did want that yearning that was in Baby, I Need Your Loving.
Yeah.
And
you had a solo hit on the charts the very month that you got married. It was Who Put the Bomb on the Bomb to Bomb to Bomb. Although right. The song is silly, it's about songwriting and trying to give the songwriter some credit.
Yeah, well, it also was like it was a spoof on all the records that were out at that point. If you remember, did I say that pine? That time. There was a record, Blue Moon, you know, the old standard, but it was bomb, 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 bomb. Anyway, it was kind of a put on.
And I must confess, I did not write that lyric. My dear friend, the late Jerry Goffin, wrote that lyric.
So you were all working with each other? was there competition with King Goffin and Lieber and Stoller and Gretchen Mann and people like Neil Sedaka?
Well, there wasn't competition with Lieber and Stoller because they were our idols. They were the old guys who taught us everything we knew. But there was fantastic competition between Goffin and King and Mann and Wilde.
Which you'll see if you go see Beautiful, the Carole King musical.
Yeah, there's a character based on you.
Yes, our young selves are in the show, and our relationship with Carole and Jerry, which was a deep and loving friendship and the worst competition in the world. I mean, we loved and hated each other.
You gritted your teeth when they had a big hit?
Oh, absolutely.
Because it was they took our spot. We should have had that hit.
Yes, that's true.
Your book, Cynthia, is filled with descriptions of the Brill Building told through the eyes of someone seeing it for the first time. What was it like for you walking into it the first time? Did you go there thinking, I want to write songs?
You know, my career really took place in what Carole King calls the un-Brill Building, which was 1650 Broadway. But Dan and I felt setting this in the Brill Building would be much more understandable.
Because it's legendary.
Because it's legendary, and it has architecture you can describe. It's known as the place that songs were born.
Mm-hmm. But you were working in 1650. Were other people working there as well?
Well, Alden Music, which is the company we were signed for, rented their offices in 1650, and we were signed to them. But people like Burt Burns worked out of 1650.
Aaron Schroeder.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else.
There were a lot of the young companies were in 1650 because the rents were cheaper.
Why do you think this time there were so many incredible songwriters? Of course, it was a different situation. This was songwriters writing these songs and then other people performing them.
Right.
I guess after the Beatles, or Bob Dylan, we assumed that the singer would be the songwriter.
There were still a few artists who wrote, not many of them. I don't know. I think that it was a time where I think we were, Goffin and King and Cynthia and myself, kind of think of ourselves as the bridge between old Tin Pan Alley and rock and roll. So it was very fresh, and it was a lot of fresh music. And it was wide open because you could write any kind of song in that period in time.
Did you meet there? Were you both on the staff of Alden Music?
Well, at that time, Cynthia wasn't. I was. Cynthia and I met. I went to play a song for a guy named Teddy Randazzo. And Cynthia happened to be writing with him. And I saw her and she saw me. And
sparks flew.
Yes. You can tell the rest of it.
Romantically and professionally.
No, just romantically.
I mean, that's nice.
And I stalked him and found out where he was signed. And then I went up to Alden Music hoping to meet him again. And, you know, I had to have a reason for being there. So I showed Don Kirshner my lyrics. And then I ended up getting signed and we ended up dating. And
there's a line in your book about how the songwriters in the Brill Building sometimes had to churn out romantic songs in the least romantic of circumstances.
Yes.
Was that based on fact?
Oh, absolutely. We were in these little cubicles often fighting with each other, tired, fresh air deprived, and trying to be romantic.
And I imagine some of the songs did grow out of things that you'd said to each other.
I'm trying to think if there was one that was truly
obviously inspired. Not who put the bomb in the bomb.
No, well, you know, later on, I can only think of a song. Cynthia really basically wrote the lyric for me, a song called Don't Know Much, which was a hit with Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville. And it was basically based on what I was going through at that point in my life. And
my guests are Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann. Cynthia's written a book called I'm Glad I Did. It's published by Soho Teen. It's about not just about working in the music business, as you say. It's also a mystery. And it addresses some of the political and racial struggles of the early 60s. Did the politics of the day influence your songwriting, or did you have to keep things light and apolitical?
Well, I think that we were kind of sociological at the time. This was pre-Bob Dylan, and we wrote songs like Uptown that dealt with a man working downtown, being one person, then going to his home and becoming who he really is. It was a time of great conflict, and it was a time when the country was finding its way in so many ways, including racial relations.
And one of the main characters in the book is a formerly famous black recording artist who's fallen out of the spotlight.
Right.
She ends up working rather anonymously as a janitor in the Brill Building. I'm assuming that she was inspired to some degree by Darlene Love.
Yeah, in a way she was. Darlene had told me about the times she was cleaning other people's houses. And
she's had an incredible second or third career.
Absolutely. And she just recorded an album with produced by Steve Van Zandt of the Springsteen Band. And she recorded one of our songs, a new song.
So you're still collaborating on songs?
Yeah, every once in a while we do that.
You wrote a musical featuring your catalog of songs called They Wrote That.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Were people surprised by some of the songs that they discovered that you'd written?
Yeah, it's
songwriters are anonymous. You know, the songs exist, the artists exist, but songwriters are anonymous. We are always shocked when we talk to people who go see Beautiful and don't realize all the songs Carole King wrote before she wrote Tapestry and became famous.
All the songs she wrote with Jerry Goffin.
Yes.
And in your case, I assume there were some that you that were particular favorite songs that may not have become the biggest hits.
They were probably, I think every one of them was a hit except one. We did one from a show that we were working on at the time. We work on a show based on the movie Mask. And so we did one of those songs.
But your biggest hit, of course, was You've Lost That Love and Feeling,
right.
Which has probably been recorded 100 times by different people
more
as well.
More than that. Yeah. More than that.
I'm sure you. Irving Berlin used to be selective. He didn't want the Drifters to sing White Christmas, for example. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you're happy when anybody records one of your songs.
Oh, sure.
Well, we're happy when people record our songs, but there are certain recordings that we prefer to others, you know. I mean, sometimes we will listen to something and think, what were they thinking, you know. But other times, a great producer can get a performance and a record that enhances the song.
What do you listen to today? Are there people you'd like to collaborate with?
I like Sam Smith a lot.
Well, he sings the kind of songs, love songs, that you have written over the years.
And he's got a great voice.
Sam, what was the name of that?
Just don't make it sound like somebody else's song.
Right.
This time.
Yes, exactly.
There was a song out by Labyrinth. Sandy.
Yes, called Beneath Your
Beautiful.
Beneath Your Beautiful,
which I loved.
Sandee and someone else.
I forget. And I loved that song. I mean, I loved it lyrically, and I loved it melodically. It was just terrific.
Did you ever produce?
I produced some records. If you ever see Christmas Vacation on TV, the opening song, I wrote it, and I ended up producing it too.
Your website says that you both continue to explore new directions for your creativity. Well, Cynthia, you've written a novel. What else?
Maybe more novels.
You're going to make a movie now?
I would love to write a screenplay. There are so many things I'd like to do, and Barry's a fantastic photographer. He's had photography shows, and he continues to explore that avenue.
That's it.
And I thank you both so much for being on our show. It's been a great pleasure and an honor to be speaking with Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann, who have written so many of the songs that have made up the soundtrack of most of our lives. And now we have this novel as well called I'm Glad I Did, with a wonderful little blurb from Carole King.
Yes.
So you must have made up after all these years.
Oh, you know, we never unmade up. With all the competition, we loved each other. We were best friends.
But then she moved away.
Then she moved away. But we stayed in touch. And even when she lived in Idaho and would write to me, I had to wait for the snow to stop and get on my snowshoes to mail this. We still stayed in touch.
The book is published by Soho Teen. And I hope that we're going to get a new compilation of some of the great hits. Has anybody talked about that? Rhino or somebody else?
Well, you know, there's a compilation of some songs. I wouldn't say they were the greatest hits. That's came out in the UK on Ace Records.
There is also an album that I did.
Oh, yes.
That has, I did about 11 of our hits.
A listener writes, I thought I knew David is the listener's name.
Yeah.
I thought I knew every great song that Mann and Weil ever wrote. Last year, I heard for the very first time a beautiful song that they wrote back in 1984 called Black Butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
It was recorded
yeah.
by Denise Williams.
Yes.
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 And it is a beautiful song.
Yeah.
And he asked who arranged that.
Oh, you know.
I think they basically probably took it from my demo, which was a very, very good demo. And I think they kind of used that as a template for the record.
The most heartbreaking story about that song is that Michael...
Jackson?
What?
Are you going to tell Michael Jackson?
Yeah,
story?
Michael Jackson considered it for the Thriller album and then decided he didn't want something as provocative as that. Mm-hmm. And so, but every time we would see him or I would bump into him, he would sing it to me just to really tear my heart apart.
You would have made millions of dollars from that. That was one of the best-selling records of all time.
Also, just the idea of Michael singing one of our songs. Mm.
Yeah. I hate to say this, but you also wrote, "We got to get out of this place, mm-hmm. and our time's up."
Well, very apropos.
Yes. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Our pleasure, Leonard.
Who put the bomb in the bomb, the bomb, the bomb? Who put the ram in the ram-a-lama ding-dong? Who put the bop in the bop-shabop-shabop? Who put the dip in the dip-dip?